is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Chris Shiflett, Dave Grohl, both here from the Foo Fighters tonight.
Hello, thank you very much. Thank you.
Good to have you guys back. Although I'm trying to think,
actually, I think
who
you only
here.
Had Taylor once.
Taylor was the last Foo Fighter that was in this
was he by himself?
Studio.
Just Taylor.
Yeah,
I think he was. Yeah, he's a good guy. That
we've never.
I've
never done
Taylor.
This before.
You've never done this show?
No.
Really? So we've had the other. We've had the or at least the other third of the Foo Fighters. Well, let's start by kissing a little ass. First off,
here we go.
I'm going to the show Friday at the amphitheater. Secondly, Foo Fighters, great live band, by the way.
Mm. We saw the Acoustic Christmas last.
Yeah. And I think the Foo Fighters have, or maybe I wasn't as much into the Foo Fighters, but it seems like there's been a pretty marked and steady improvement in the live Foo Fighters show.
We've definitely blossomed.
That's all Taylor's doing, though, really.
It's true.
He cracks the whip pretty hard. He's whipped us into shape.
Were you guys? I mean, obviously, it takes a while for a band to gel and everything. But most bands don't seem that much different than they were 3 years ago, or seem a little worse than the last time you saw them when you see them.
Well, you know, when we started, it all came. The whole thing started with a demo tape. So the band sort of fell together. Like we just sort of came together. It was me. Nate, our bass player, a guy named Pat Smear played guitar.
Yeah, Pat's crazy.
Pat's insane. A kid named William was playing the drums. And
I get back to Pat Smear.
We played our first show after only having played with each other for like 2 months.
Right.
And everybody wanted to know about the band because it had, you know, we had come from the ashes of Nirvana. And so people were really interested and we had to kind of grow up in public.
Right. And Pat Smear was sort of like what Billy Preston was to the Beatles. He was that to like Nirvana. Like I saw him, like he played during the Unplugged sessions and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he was sort of the.
Well, we wanted to get another guitar player because Kurt wanted
to have.
He
was the fifth Beatle.
He was the fourth.
He was the fourth.
Fourth Nervosa.
But the fifth Beatle.
Nirvanian.
Nervosa.
I mean, he was like the fourth Nirvanian, right?
Yeah, he was. For like the last year, I guess.
And he's playing with like Jane's Addiction and stuff. I'm
well,
trying
no,
to
see,
think
he was
he,
in, he
what
was in
done.
He was in a band called The Germs, which
oh
was,
he was
yeah, which was one of LA's first punk rock bands.
He is
he's a legend. The guy, he's a legend.
He's a legend. He's this willowy guy who he seems gay. I'm not sure if he is or not. I
ladies
hope he
man.
Is because I'm into him. But he really
ladies man.
Really,
no question.
He's got a great vibe, but he's really kind of wispy and weird. And I had a good long talk with him at backstage at one of your shows a few years ago. I think it was Acoustic Christmas, but straight guy.
Totally.
What's his nationality?
He's mulatto. His father was German and his mother was black, and she's a beautiful. I think she was an opera singer.
He seems like he's like Middle Eastern or something. Is it crazy? We got to get him in here.
You got to talk to Pat.
Yeah.
He's a good time.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so all right, so a bunch of questions. So first, you know, the idea that you're in Nirvana and then the Foo Fighters is, I'm trying to think what the equivalent to that is. I mean, if anyone else has been in bands, you know, close together, same genre almost, and had both having tons of success that weren't like sort of super bands like, you know, Traveling Wilburys or something like that.
It's practically unprecedented. Yeah,
yeah, think really. About that. And number two, could you have, from Nirvana, could you have just retired?
Yeah.
You could have.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know how it goes in terms of royalties and who gets, you know, credit for writing songs and all that kind of stuff. But you were set. Dave, from the Nirvana days, the day Nirvana ended, you were set.
Yes.
So you took some time off and then formed Foo Fighters.
Yeah, I had like about a year. Because I didn't, at that time, I didn't really want to play music. And I couldn't imagine just being that guy for the rest of my life, being a drummer for the rest of my life, and being the drummer of Nirvana and doing session stuff. And
was it only a year from the time that Nirvana broke up or Kurt died to the time that the Foo Fighters got started?
Yeah, it was actually less than that.
Really?
Yeah, Kurt died in April of 94, and our first jam session was like December of 94.
Wow.
You know, I know when it was, because that was, because it must, so Kurt must have died in late April, early May, or middle of May.
It was early April.
Early April. Because I was trying to, that's when I got into radio. And I was working as the boxing trainer, and I was calling the radio station, but Kurt Cobain had just killed himself, and they weren't talking to boxing trainers about Michael the Maintenance Man and Jimmy the Sports Guy fighting. No. But it was that weekend, or that week. So now Foo Fighters is going strong, and just great, great live band, great music. And sort of... change a lot of gears too. I mean, lots of different sounds.
Well, we're pretty simple. Our bands, we have a really great arrangement, a really comfortable existence. We never sell more than a million records, but we always do. We go out and we play places that hold 2,000 or 3,000 people. It never really sort of slows down or wanes. Everything just keeps going. And it's great. We make the albums in my basement in Virginia, in the studio we built there. And
how'd you end up in Virginia?
That's where I'm from.
You're from Virginia?
Yeah, I grew up
there.
How'd
you end up in Seattle then?
I was in a punk rock band called Scream, and we were from Virginia, Washington, D.C., and I dropped out of high school when I was 17 years old and started touring.
Bad move.
In
bad.
A van.
Bad move.
I know.
See?
Kids, stay in school.
And did you always want to get out front? I mean, get out from behind the drum kit and get out front? Like
no, that? Because I'm a better drummer than I am anything else.
Well, we were talking to who about what a great drummer you were last week. Somebody came in here and said that Dave drummed for the Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah.
And then was just talking about what a great drummer he was. Drew, you were sitting right
I know,
there.
I can't remember. You can't remember either. I can't remember.
I know, but you look at me like you can't remember what I'm talking about.
No,
not
I remember,
like you
I remember
can't
what
remember
you're
the
talking
drummer.
About. I'm distressed that I can't remember in spite of remembering
you
having
you don't even smoke pot.
I remember having the conversation, and I can't remember who it was with.
All right. Well, somebody was in here kissing your ass, explaining that, explaining Liam. Who? Who
Liam,
was it?
Liam Leeson?
Oh, was
Lynch.
It Liam Lynch?
Liam Lynch, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was in here.
United States or whatever.
Talking about, what a great great drummer you were.
Yeah.
And what a great guitar player Chris was. He didn't really say that, but I felt so bad Chris just said that.
Oh, you make me feel good.
Yeah. All right, so it all worked out. And just from just a curiosity question, like Kurt Cobain, were you guys good friends, or was it, you know, you were in a band and it was business?
Well, would we first? I didn't know those guys when I flew up there to join the band. I'd never met them before. And I moved into a tiny apartment with Kurt. Just the two of us lived in this apartment for like 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pretty quiet. Like, he was a pretty shy, reserved guy. He wasn't like a raging, partying loud mouth. So it took a while to sort of break the ice, but then, you know, the apartment we lived in was the size of this room. It was tiny, and
right.
We were there in the winter in Olympia, Washington for 8 months, and we rehearsed every day for like 3 or 4 hours and just wrote songs and we became really close. But he was one of those kind of guys that was never really comfortable, like, being open about his feelings to people. So there was one, after maybe 2 months of being in the band, one night we were drinking, and he said, you know, God, I'm so happy you're in the band, and you're one of our good friends and brothers now, kind of thing. I thought, phew. But it was also one of those things where they never told me that I was officially in the band.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And did he, did you sort of feel his genius early?
Yeah.
I mean, did you feel like, boy, we're really on to something, or this guy's really got something special?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, nobody thought that it would happen the way it did, but
right.
But the guy wrote great songs, man. There's no question.
And you, what do you think? Do you think he killed himself, or yeah. do you think there's controversy, or there's
nah,
something?
Well, I mean, there's always something. That scene was so weird. There was so much weird stuff going on around that whole thing. But yeah, I mean, he's the kind of person that you meet people that you think you just can't imagine them growing old.
Right.
He was kind of one of those people.
Sort of like when the Robert Blake thing came out. Mm-hmm. We had Robert Blake in here a few years back,
sketch.
And it's like people are like, to me and Drew, like, well, can you believe he did this? And we're like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like kill Rob Drew. Blake? Yeah.
Yep, that's him. Yeah, so, I mean, you do... It, and then when something does happen that sort of fits, because I'm asking Dave, because he knows, I mean, this almost makes sense for someone
right.
like him.
Well, Kurt's, he's a classic pattern of someone who's going to die of this disease. I mean, it's just a classic thing.
Heroin.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, good times. Let's go to the phones and speak to Carla, who's 32. Carla? Carla?
Hello?
There you are.
What's up?
Hi.
Mm.
I love you guys. I just can't wait to see you in Chicago.
All right, Carla.
Yay. I have a question about anal sex.
Great.
Yay.
Yay.
My husband and I want to have anal sex, and we wanted to know what precautions to take or what problems we could have from having anal sex.
Well, the problems aren't going to be his.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, he can get a...
He can get a little infection, I suppose.
I suppose,
that's
yeah.
About it, though. He needs to wear a condom. That's the best thing.
Right.
And lots of lubrication. And you don't have any bowel problems or rectal pathology.
Not
or anything.
Yet.
Not yet, but you may soon.
Is it that bad of a thing? I mean,
do you want to do this, or does he want to do this?
It's something that we'd consider trying.
No. Does he want to do this, or do you want to do this?
It sounds like you're having a kid.
Yeah.
He really wants to do this.
That's what we're asking. Okay, that's fine.
I kind of want to do this.
All right, so just go slow and relax. And don't. Okay. What hurts, stop. I mean, your body's the pain sort of feedback is there to tell you you're harming something, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right.
You can tear.
Breathe deeply.
You can tear, and you can cause all kinds of good things.
But what about Drew? You know, I like to weave booze into most situations. What about a glass
vodka
of
animals?
Wine just to loosen, relax you a little bit?
I can't think of why it would hurt.
Okay, all right, Carla. Good times. Hey, call us. Tell us how it worked out.
Okay.
You know the real danger is you hate it and he loves it.
Mm, you open Pandora's box.
Pandora's something.
All right. Thanks. All right. Let's
jumping right in here.
Okay. Wow.
I got a question for Dave here. Misha?
My Isha.
My Isha?
Not your Isha, but my Isha.
Oh, I see.
What's that? I can't stand people's pain in the ass names. They just go around. They spend their whole life correcting people. Like, you do that everywhere you go, right? My Isha. You spend your whole life correcting people. Is that right? Strangers.
Whatever.
And they hate you.
You hate me.
Well, you get off on the wrong foot with people because you have to correct them all the time, right?
Oh, it's all good. I'm used to it by now.
You are, but society hates it.
Oh, well, that's too bad for them.
See? All right, go ahead.
What's up, Maisha?
I have a question for Dave.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a question about file sharing, Napster. I'm writing this paper, actually, for my information gathering class, and I was very curious about your take on the whole MP3 phenomenon that's going on right now.
Well, I'm supposed to say that I disagree with the whole thing and that it's robbing me of millions and that it's robbery, it's a crime.
Uh-huh.
But I happen to think it's kind of cool. We were talking about this outside before we came in here. About how when we were young, playing in punk rock bands, it was all about tape trading and sharing music. So that when you went to see a band, it wasn't so important that you had the record. It was more important that you knew the songs and you sang along with the lead singer. And you know, so I think it's kind of cool. I would rather have a venue filled with people singing every word to every one of our songs. Than making sure that every one of them bought the record to do so.
Hmm.
So,
really?
So, but I mean, at the same time, I'm fortunate. I can afford to lose, you know, $100 and CDs burned, whatever. So it's not that big of a deal.
I hadn't really thought about this, but in the last couple of weeks, we've had a few bands on who have been talking about this issue, and it's sort of it's pushing rock into a performance medium rather than a recorded medium, right? You guys are now, if you want to make money, you got to go out on the road and perform.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
That never really happens.
Yeah, we don't really make money.
You guys don't. Okay.
No, but I mean, like, back in the day, if you're Steely Dan and you're some group that's one or two guys and you're doing a studio thing, your livelihood is selling all those records. It's not the live performances.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I think bands are real mixed on it because they want to be kind of hardcore about it and say that they should just rip it all off. But on the other hand, they want to get a little money.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, Drew, the take to the stage thing. Ashley?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
First of all, I want to say to Dave Grohl, I love you. I think you're very talented, and I love all the bands you've been in.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And then, of course, Adam and Dr. Drew, I love you guys, too. I listen to you every night.
Thanks,
Ashley.
Okay, well, first, I have really bad anxiety.
Uh-huh.
I don't really know how to control it.
Mm.
Like, I've noticed that I overreact about everything and anything.
You catastrophize? Do you sort of make everything, imagine everything's going to turn out horribly and things are going
to be bad? Totally. Like, I'll give you an example. If I don't hear from a friend who's supposed to call me, I'll probably think, oh my God, they got in a car accident.
Car accident, yeah, yeah. I do that.
And it's like the only thing that really, I don't want to go on any medicine because the only medicine that they seem to want to prescribe me is for antidepressant.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not depressed. I just know I'm really anxious and I tend to worry a lot. But
well, it turns out when you adjust that same chemistry, anxiety gets better too. So particularly the kind of anxiety you're describing, which is sort of panic prone. Now, and I'm not saying you should necessarily take medicine, but I'm just saying that's why they're offering you that.
But Drew,
yeah,
you use it as a motivational tool. Like you put a fire under yourself by panicking a little bit. Like we got to leave to the airport 3 hours early or we're going to miss the plane.
Yeah.
And that gets you up and out of bed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's just seems to be doing it just to freak herself out.
But I do it too. I do both. I just do it to freak myself out too. I mean, we're taking with my kids. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
See, if I get anxiety in a specific situation, then anytime I'm back in that situation,
there it is again.
It happens again.
Yeah.
So
right.
Like once I was driving over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. And
you got a panic attack.
It's got a panic attack. Yeah. So now every time I hit a bridge, I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope I don't.
Well, it's interesting. A certain component of panic and anxiety is a behavior. You learn to have it. There are cues that trigger it, and pow, right. Now you have it. And so that's all set up, and boom, you have the panic.
What do you do?
Well, it depends. It depends if it's just isolated panic and you're not having anxiety the rest of the time. Maybe you do nothing. In Ashley's case, it sounds like she's anxious all the time, and
right.
She's catastrophizing. And, you know, it's hard to know precisely what's going on with Ashley, but a common thing with the kind of thing she's describing is some deficiencies of her self mechanisms, that she didn't quite get what she needed, and she needs more. Therapy would be great for Ashley, let's put it that way. That would solve a lot of this problem.
What about my tough love policy toward your panic attacks, Drew?
Yeah, they're very effective.
I
appreciate them, too. Well, tell Dave and Chris about
what's
this.
What's the, huh?
Dave, yeah. Well, you should.
Well, I got in a fight with Dave, what's his name, Favreau?
John Favreau. Drew hates John Favreau, actor.
I don't hate him. I just got in a little fight with him.
Who? From Swingers?
Yeah. The guy that makes the phone call for them.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a perfectly likable guy.
Why?
We got a conflict because he was giving some really irresponsible advice to somebody, and I said, hey, you stop, don't. He got on me a little bit, and we got in this little altercation. He was on the set of the TV show of Loveline. And, you know, Loveline, we would just do one show, change our clothes, do another show, change our clothes. We do like 5 shows a day.
I even stopped changing my clothes.
Yeah, he stopped changing
his clothes. I just turned my shirts inside out and go back out there. Yeah.
He'd spit on his hair. So we go on to the next show after I had this big fight with him, and I have a panic attack in the middle of the show.
You did?
Yeah, huge.
Drew did.
And then I go, wait, I got to take a break. And I go on my dressing
room. Oh, you fully backed out.
Yeah, I had to take a break.
Ooh.
Well, then he walks in. He walks in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what do you say?
I yelled at him.
Quit being a pussy.
No,
that's
goes,
right.
He goes, if I have to stay in this goddamn studio 1 minute longer than we absolutely have to, I'm going to kill you. Get out there. Get your ass out there.
But it worked,
what happened?
Right?
Did it work?
No.
Yeah.
I was capable of going back out there. I just felt like ass, and I could barely concentrate, but I finished the show.
But you were fine. And then say, Dave, when you cross the Chesapeake Bay Bridge again, you could use me riding shotgun.
That
just screaming at you the whole time.
That'll happen.
Buddy.
The first time, I used to never get nervous when playing shows. Never. Loved it. Never had a problem with it. And
then you got,
I was a big pothead until I was 20.
Well, I was going to say that that's one of the ways that opens up these pathways.
Okay, but I haven't smoked pot. I've probably smoked pot once in the last 14 years. I don't do any drugs at all.
It establishes these circuits, God, unfortunately.
Damn it, I blew it.
And I think, listen to this.
Well, wait a minute.
I have a new theory. Mm-mm. I think some of what pot does is cause you, certain people, to depersonalize a little bit. Like you kind of feel like you're looking at things down a tunnel. Did you ever get that kind of experience?
Yeah.
That triggers the panic. See, I think it's the depersonalization that pot causes in some people that makes you have the panic.
Why?
Well, see, that's what would happen. It's kind of like runner's high.
I was right about that.
Runner's high deal, where you're jogging and you've jogged so much that
you're
all
out of body.
You can't out of body.
Yeah. Right.
What the hell?
And there you go.
That's what happens.
That's what pot. And then
that's what it did. Because, then, you know, someone told me once, they're like, dude, if you stare at yourself in a mirror long enough, you can hypnotize yourself.
Right.
Full on out of body thing. And I was like 13 years old and I did it. Freaked me out for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And were you high at the time?
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. That's how
One more call.
Hi, this is John Favreau.
Ashley?
Yeah, hello?
You're 14?
Yeah.
You want to know about lesbians?
Oh, why don't we keep the other Ashley on? She was a lesbian.
Oh.
I was going to get her to answer.
Who the hell
blowing knows, it.
Yeah, I was curious. Well, first, I just want to say hello to my friend Arthur, and I think you guys are awesome.
All right, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Sorry.
What is it?
I was just curious. How do like lesbians have sex?
Well, Ashley with the panic attacks, a lesbian. Why don't you let her explain it to her?
A lesbian with panic attacks.
Drew, since when do your plans ever work out on
Let's
this
try.
Show?
Ashley.
Yes.
You heard that question?
Huh?
And then now when I say Drew. Ashley,
Keep
no
going.
One knows who I'm talking to. Ashley with the
are
panic.
They both name Ashley.
Yes. How
oh,
is that?
Drew, this is now your worst idea ever.
You're a lesbian. Ashley with the panic. She's gone. You guys hung up on
She's
her?
Out.
Ashley with panic.
Yes.
Okay. Ashley, who's 14, wants to know, on the board here it says you were a lesbian. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is.
And she wants to know how lesbians have sex.
Well, it just depends. Like, a lot of lesbians consider oral sex, like, all the way.
Yeah.
And then there's other lesbians who I'm sure you guys have heard of fisting.
Fisting. She's 14. You go right to the fist. How much fisting is there in the lesbian community?
Oh,
really?
Is that like boxing?
Is it that great?
No, to be honest, I've never done it. I'm just telling you.
All right.
I also hear that, Ashley, with the panic, that the lesbians frequently start to stop having sex if they're in a monogamous relationship after about 6 months. Is that common?
I have no idea, to be honest.
Has that been your experience?
Hold
or you just
on.
Been...
She's not the spokesman for all
I just wondering.
Lesbians, true.
Hey, neither... You're a lesbian.
I know lesbians.
All right, Ashley from Arizona, you have any other questions?
Yeah, I was also curious. Like, how would you... Like, let's say you have a friend who's doing drugs. Like, what would be, like, your best opinion on how to, like, convince them to get off of drugs?
All right, hold on. Drew's got to find a junkie to answer that question.
No.
Are you all right, Drew?
The best way to... You can't convince somebody. You can just the best way actually to get their attention is to leave. Cumulative loss gets the attention of addicts.
All right, you can go to. I don't know if she's talking about her friend.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, Drew,
the fisting friend. Almost this one.
Almost.
Would we have come up with that? Seriously,
the fisting.
No. Yes.
No.
Nah.
Yeah, but you have to know whenever you have an idea. Never have you ever had an idea that's worked
that
on the
bad.
Show?
That
all right,
bad.
All right. Chris and Dave, both here from the Foo Fighters. Take a quick break. We'll be back after this. There's Dave's drumming. Foo Fighters here. Dave and Chris, both here from the band. I'm going to go see them on Friday night at the Universal Amphitheater.
If you can get tickets.
Already got them, my friend. Yeah, spoiled again.
Damn.
And I'll be charging the stage. I'll be up there like a Bruce Springsteen video, just doing my thing like Courtney Cox.
Can you do that dance?
No.
I'll show it to you.
I can't do anything, although the only thing I can do evidently that's effective is before every episode of Survivor, I get up in there doing the yada, and I do a crazy sort of rain dance in front of the TV
you
set.
You do?
Yeah. Just for a
Is it before you smoke that bowl and drink that the bottle of wine?
No, I do my crazy dance.
No matter what.
Yeah, Survivor dance.
I have to witness this. I have to see this.
Yeah, it's good.
Do we have Survivor music here?
One by One is the name of the CD. We're going to hear something off of that. It's just tough because we normally throw a song in on the first break, but...
too busy talking about anal sex and fisting?
Yes.
And that's basically right.
Ashley?
That's entertainment.
Hello?
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, so I have a question for Dave.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so my friend Heather, it's going to be her birthday soon. She's going to be 15, and she really wants to play the drums, and I know you play the drums. So mm-hmm. I was wondering if I could get her an affordable set that's, like, still in price range, but it's a good set.
Right.
So, like, is there any kind of brands that you could recommend or anything?
Well... I mean, you can go to a music store and just sort of compare prices. The DW stuff is usually expensive, and the real high-end stuff is usually pretty out-of-control expensive. But I learned to play drums without a drum set. I learned to play on my bed with pillows and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you can set up, like, if you can discern the sounds, if you can tell what the hi-hat sounds like and what the snare sounds like, what the kick drum sounds like and the toms sound like, then you just sort of set up an imaginary drum set and emulate what's happening in the song. So you sort of teach yourself by ear without a drum set. All you need is a pair of sticks.
Yeah, and it's like...
It's that cheap, $5.
So, like, even if I got her, like, a piece of junk set, she could still, like, basically learn and then move up?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, you know what they sell? They sell practice pad sets that fold up. Like, they're just little practice pads. And sometimes that's a good way to go. If you live in an apartment, if you live in a small house... it's cheap, it's not as loud, you can still learn how to keep beats and work with your time. You don't need like a big full drum set to learn how to play the drums.
How much money you have to spend, Ashley?
Like $300 to $400.
Yeah, you know what, and look in the paper too for used stuff. You can look in any sort of city paper or any
kind
of classifieds thing and you'll find used drum sets for sale.
You got $300 or $400 to spend on your friend?
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I mean, I don't know if it's going to work, but it's like...
No, that's not the point. Where all that money come from?
Like a summer job.
Really? This is just money you've saved up you're going to spend on your friends?
I was thinking about it. I mean, it's not something that's like a possibility. It's not really like for sure.
My birthday's coming up next month.
I would say, don't feel shy. We're impressed in a positive way.
It's okay if you're a hooker. It's fine. This is the love line deal, right? I mean, we can talk about these things.
She's 14, Dave. Please.
Amen. It's 2003, my friend.
All right. Hey, Ashley.
Yeah?
God bless you.
Thanks.
See? Yeah.
Bye. Good luck.
Yeah.
Adam wishes he has friends or, God forbid, even family that would think that way.
Oh, those slackers. All they do is drain me.
I know.
Yes.
Everybody.
That's what I thought it was, that lesbian again.
No, it's a different. And this one's also 14. There.
That's where she made all that money, fisting lesbians. Mm.
Robert.
Thank you.
Robert, you're 18.
Yeah.
What's up?
Nothing much. Kind of tired. I have a question.
Yeah.
There's a girl that lives next door to me. She lived next door to me for about 3 or 4 years now. And I have a crush on her.
Right.
I have no clue on how to get her attention.
Well, does she know you?
You sound like a real firecracker to me.
Has she shown any interest or anything?
No, I'm too shy.
Yeah, but she could show interest even if you were shy.
She'd let you know.
Well,
now wait a minute. Do you guys live in a house?
Well, she lives right next door to me.
In a house?
Do you live in a house?
Yeah.
Okay, so she lives in the house that's next to you.
Yeah.
And she's been there for a number of years.
Yeah.
And you say hi to her. She knows your name.
Yeah.
And do you see her going out with other guys?
No.
Do you have any relationship with her?
I talk to her almost every day.
Oh, now, you're from Missouri. You're calling from Missouri?
Yeah.
So I assume you're Jewish because the Passover thing's coming up, and that might be a nice icebreaker.
The Democrats look like you. Really? How'd you know that?
You are Jewish, aren't you, Robert?
Psychic friends.
No,
network.
I don't. I'm not anything.
Yeah. You're not anything.
Catholic, though.
All right. Okay. What about if you? You can't really go over there and knock on the door. It's kind of
weird.
But
wait a minute. He talks to her every day. So.
Every day?
It sounds like he already blew it.
Yes, I agree. He's in Friendville.
If you've known
him
for 3 years and you haven't made the move,
you're right. However, what he could say is, "Let's go get something to eat." Let's sit down and have a meal.
You know, just having the nerve to talk to a girl, 90% of the time is the whole battle right there.
Yeah, I don't ever have any money though, because I'm also trying to have a band going on.
Oh yeah.
What if we did something like a sitcom like idea where, because she's put him in Friendville already, he reinvents himself as Dutch, the older brother who just got let out of prison, who's back home to raise a little hell. And then
Bob's brother
slicks his hair back, puts on a leather jacket, hangs a toothpick and some cop sunglasses on. She's intrigued with Dutch, the new one, but they keep getting confused, and he has to keep running and taking the jacket off. Yeah?
I love it. Yeah, it's probably the only hope.
All right, Robert.
That's what we'll call it. The only hope.
The only hope is that by taking on the persona of Dutch, your older brother, who just either got thrown out of the service or released on furlough from prison.
Okay.
All right, buddy. That's your plan. You just got to change your dialect just a little bit and grease your hair back.
All right.
And grow a goatee.
Yeah,
just go ask her out.
Ask her to go have something to eat with you. Just a cup of coffee, something. Something where you're saying, I want to sit and talk to you. That makes a difference.
I think what Chris, well, I'm gonna take Chris's point a step further, which is, even if she shoots you down, it still needed to be done. I mean,
yes,
you need to get comfortable with asking people out as a guy,
and he needs to get over this sitting around and yearning about it. He's got to put his, put it out there and see what happens.
Right.
Whatever.
All right. Maria.
Wait, just to play a song, huh?
Okay. Hey, you guys all know what the Foo Fighters sound like, right? Dave's got a ton of money from Nirvana. Really, they need to move any more product. They're a live band, Drew.
I want to talk to these kids about sex.
Yeah, if they don't want to sell more than a million records anyway, Drew.
You blow the vibe, wouldn't
you? You blow the vibe.
They'd be selling out then.
Completely.
I fix it if it ain't broke.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maria?
Hi.
You're 22?
Yep.
You've heard the Foo Fighters before, right?
Of course. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Of course.
Go ahead.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I went out with my boyfriend, his brother, then I took a girlfriend of mine, and I got a little bit too drunk, and when we got home, they stopped by for food. They bought something for themselves to eat. When we got home, my boyfriend took me upstairs. I went to sleep. And in the morning, I woke up, my friend was gone, and then I get a phone call. My boyfriend's still there. And I get a phone call from my friend, and she tells me that my boyfriend tried to hit on her. And I confronted him with that, and he says, I didn't do anything to her. I was just there. We were watching movies, and I was telling her jokes, and we were just...
Okay, we'll figure this out.
Yeah,
why were they hanging out for a while? The two of them.
Well,
this was at your house?
This is at my house, yeah.
Why didn't your girlfriend go home?
No, she's my roommate.
Well, why didn't
Okay, well, call her your roommate.
The four of us live together.
The four of you?
House, yeah.
Oh, he lives there, too.
Excuse me?
He lives there, too?
No, he sleeps over.
Okay, so the four of us means there's two other people that aren't germane to this story and we've never heard of, right?
Yeah.
What's wrong with people? Is everyone retarded? The four of us. Wouldn't you think this guy would be included in the four if you're going to say the four of us?
No. Well, there's four girls that live together.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
You guys have those panty raids? No? Telefights?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, so this guy hangs out with your roommate, and he really should be going home, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what's his excuse for not going home after
you
got put to bed?
Actually, he had just come back. He just came back from training for the military.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have a job, right? So he was staying with his brothers. And so, I mean, I let him stay here for a little bit. He was sleeping over here and there.
Wait a minute. He doesn't have a place to stay?
So wait a minute. He slept over that night?
Yeah, that night he slept over. Well, because we were drinking.
And you planned, you figured he would stay on the night. He planned on it.
Yeah.
All right, okay. So that's not, so just say... Just say when I'm saying that. Say he was planning on spending the night.
Let's think about this. Let's just think about motivation for a second. What's in it for your girlfriend to call you out of the blue and tell you this if it didn't happen?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, that doesn't happen.
Does this guy have a history of screwing around?
Not that I know. And I've been with him for about 4 years, but we broke up for about like 5 or 6 months.
Why'd you break up?
For different reasons, just because.
Well, he was a jerk with me sometimes. He cared more about his job and stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. When you confront him with all this, what's in it for him to say, yeah, you're right, I did it? Of course, if there's somebody lying here, of course it's him.
Yeah, unless she's just some catty bitch.
Unless she's completely nuts. Yeah, unless she's a drug addict, severely, something's really wrong with her.
Well, most women are nuts, sure.
Yeah, but I mean, really, to her to need that kind of chaos, she doesn't have a history.
She does some pretty weird stuff.
All right, well, what did she say? Now, listen, you know this guy's moves, right?
Yeah.
You would recognize them.
Yeah, I would. And she says that, she told me that he actually told me when I left, I hugged her when we went upstairs because she said that she needed help up off the couch. And then he helped her up. And then he said that he hugged her goodnight. He walked upstairs and she went into her room. That's what he told me. But
Hold on a second. Okay. Listen, I don't want to hear his version. I want to hear what her version was.
She said that he hugged her and that he tried to kiss her.
All right.
That's what she told me. Yeah.
All right. And then she said no and went to bed.
And she said no and that, but she told me that.
Oh, who cares? I lost so much. I lost interest in that call. Like, you know, I had as much interest in that as like a 13-year-old if I gave him a Pong game now and told him to knock himself out.
Enjoy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just like a dog with a broca flower. Just sniffed it a couple times and went, nah, not for me. I'm a carnivore.
So, are we going to play a song?
Go sniff my balls.
And somebody else's ass. This.
Yeah. Oh, who cares? They break up. He's going into the service. Who cares? Don't get pregnant, right?
It's kind of like one of those WB shows, you know?
Yeah, you watch for a few seconds because there's like a 9-year-old black guy who has like a thesaurus for brain and he's wisecracking and he's fast and he's dancing, playing the drums, and then you get bored and move on. Yeah. Wait a minute. Weren't we on the WB today?
I believe we were tonight.
Wait a minute.
No one has mentioned it, strangely enough. None of our callers have brought it up.
I thought I'd initiate the whole deal, you know.
I really, I was on Stern on Monday, the WB tonight, and the Kimmel show yesterday. I really got some range as a performer.
That's good.
All right, well, let's hope no one saw the Dawson's Creek episode.
Second half was good. You weren't in that much.
They're not going to get to the second half, though, Drew. They're going to keep moving, just like Dave. Foo Fighters here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Pete Yorn in here tomorrow night.
Pete's a good guy.
Pete is a good guy. He's been on the show maybe once before,
once,
Drew.
Yeah.
Isn't he going on tour with us?
I think we might do some shows with that cat. Yeah. Hope so. We'd like him to come out.
I don't think I've seen him live. I just sort of get the impression he's good. I mean, he knows his way around.
You know, I think
guitar.
He plays all the instruments on his albums, too, drums and all. Hmm. I think he does.
Yeah,
I'm at Coachella when we played with them.
It's good.
This again, we should be playing a Foo Fighter song.
Don't sweat it.
Come on,
they'll just.
That's Drew's favorite part of the job is when we play a song. He wants us to play the entire CD so he can go get on the internet and just hang out on the clock.
There you go. Yeah,
but you know what I was thinking about?
What?
Like we play, you know, we play the bands. A lot of time we play them just because people aren't familiar with them, and then we play them because we want people to go, hey, I like that song.
Everyone likes the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying. You ever think of this? What if they like the Foo Fighters? And then we play a song and they're like, hey, I don't like that song. I'm not going to buy the CD.
Nowhere to go but down from where they're at.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't blow it for us, man. It couldn't. We got a good thing going.
It's not
going
to happen, but I just mean, you never think about that, the dark side of playing the song.
Like this one, for example,
right,
from the new CD, One by One.
This is cut 4 off the CD.
I love this song.
This country
may not be the cup of tea of all the people listening, Drew.
Yeah.
All right, so, Dave, you did Passover dinner tonight?
I did.
Your first one?
I had my first Passover tonight.
Now, did they keep the chair open for Elijah and hide the matzah?
Yeah, it was an abbreviated version, but I think all the traditional stuff was there.
Did they give you...
I was my first, so I don't really know.
Did they give you the temp yarmulke?
No. No, I didn't get one of those.
No, oh, really? You didn't? They didn't put the temp one on.
No,
True. Uh-uh. Normally they give you the temp yarmulke, right?
If you don't have your own embroidered one. Yeah.
I had the gefilte fish.
Did you have the salt water?
I did the salt water and parsley.
Did you? Did you have to read?
Yeah,
from
I
the
read
Torah?
Some stuff.
Yeah, that's tough with
it was
the family
good.
Sitting around.
It was
good.
Fun. Yeah, it was a good time.
Do they have brisket and Passover?
Had a brisket.
Yeah, that's good.
That was very
Jews
good.
Are smart with that.
It was delish.
All right. Having your own, like, custom yarmulke for the Jew is, like, the equivalent to one of us having our own bowling ball or
yes.
pool
but
cue.
But can
you,
put a yarmulke on someone that's not Jewish?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you can.
Oh, they love that.
I didn't know that.
Oh, sure.
I think I wore a yarmulke at my first Seder.
Really?
Which was last year.
You just get those white temp ones, though, that are kind of...
Napkins.
Thrift.
Yeah, it's like, it's really saying, Goyim, chair three. That's why I'm going to have a custom one built and put left in my car just in case I get some like Hasidic cop or someone pulls me over or something. I'll slap it on.
There you go.
John?
I'm a Jew.
John?
Hello?
Yeah, you're 19. Yeah. What's up?
Yeah, I can compulsively bite the inside of my cheek
mm-hmm.
a lot, and I've been doing it for about a year now, and I bite it until it like, bleeds.
Do you do speed?
No, I smoke.
Smoke what?
Cigarettes.
Like... 3 packs a day?
No, about a pack.
Yeah, do you pick it yourself?
Not usually.
It's sort of an obsessive compulsive trait, right? I mean,
mm-hmm. My girlfriend read in a magazine that it could be some disease with the cheek. I don't know. I didn't.
I think she's probably thinking of pemphigus or something. But
what's that?
There's things that can erode the line of your cheek, but you're actually aware that you bite it. You intentionally bite it.
I mean, I can't stop until, like, I'll get distracted if I'm watching TV or something like that, and I'll stop. But then, like, as soon as I'm not doing anything, I start biting it again. And
do you pull your hair?
Do
you pull hair out or anything like that? Pluck?
No.
Or stuff?
Why don't you stuff some cotton in there or something so you can't get at it? I mean, you know, what about some aversion therapy? Like, you spray it with apple bitters or something.
It's already in his mouth.
I don't know.
It's a spray
not, a, not a doctor. What about a mouthpiece or something?
I don't. It's a good question. You might ask your dentist about that, but it really seems like an obsessive compulsion.
Well, how about you knock it off?
The only time I've seen this in people are when they're doing ecstasy or speed. A lot of it. Then I've seen it. But I'm not seeing it in a general population.
It was a couple of years ago before I started the biting of the thing. I did speed for about a week, but that's it.
Well, you know what you could transition into? I did this myself. I got into a nose picking pretty heavily. It's great when you're driving. It's great when you're alone. It's great, except
you, you go at it like you have a problem, though.
Well, I like to keep my hands moving when I'm on the road. Keep my fingers nimble. You know what happens once in a while, though?
Oh, no.
Once in a while... You get as I get older, I get a fair amount more boogers
That's
than
nice.
I used to have.
Very nice, yeah.
And you have to dedicate something on your passenger seat to be your booger spot.
Good
you
times.
Know, I mean, not the seat itself, but there's always some papers flying around. Something. Once in a while, you'll turn something into a booger page that you need.
Booger pad, I believe you call it.
Booger pad, and then it's like, oh. And then you're pulling into some line, some guy's going, where's your pass or something? You're like, oh, Christ, it's a booger pad. And there's really no hiding the booger. It's very telltale. I mean, you know, it's either jizz or boogers on there. It's something disgusting. Something is going on. You have to try to. And once it dries on there, it's like epoxy.
I will forget that when I came to visit the man show in front of the urinals, they're like a years of accumulation of guys standing, you know, as they're peeing, looking at the wall going. With one nostril and just spraying giant boogers and a pile of them.
That's not me. I'm not this snot rocket guy. I save it for the car. Yeah.
You have to pick it up and blow it out.
Right. It's more
gratifying. Yeah.
And once in a while, you get one of those ones that's like wrapped around the frontal lobe of your brain. It's like you pull it out and it's like you sure you're going to let it go and some drapes are going to go up in your head or you're going to start talking or something. Drew, that ever happen? You pull a booger out, you let it go, and then you repeat some phrase?
You sound like a SpongeBob.
Yeah. But there is nothing better than that one that you realize is up there. Yeah,
no. True. Let's go to break.
That's
go
healthy. Break. No, we're not going to break. Though.
Next caller!
That's right. Jenny?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's your question?
I have a question. Sometimes when my husband, sometimes he gets off my breast, and sometimes it varies, like, his semen or cum, whatever. It varies between chunky to thin to thick. And
next caller!
Yeah. And this is on your breast?
you know, I'm wondering, like, what's if he has a problem or something, because when he is checked for STDs and he doesn't have a problem with anything like that, I'm just wondering why it varies.
Tapioca syndrome.
Why does it vary? Did you say it was on your chest?
Chris, like, huh?
No?
Hey, if it gets a guy off, so.
Is that where his choice, is that where his destination, his semen destination is all the time? Is that like his booger pad?
It's his cum pad.
Your chest?
Sometimes it likes it, so.
All right.
Whatever.
True, the consistency, not an issue?
Not an issue.
All right, Jenny?
It has more to do with frequency of ejaculation, like how long in between, that kind of thing.
Like just, if he hasn't gotten any in a month,
you expect tapioca.
If he gets one every day, okay.
Right, thin with every day, tapioca. If it's been a month.
And then sometimes I just get the powder.
Oh, Adam goes poof.
Poof.
Oh.
Yeah, if I have to make an escape, if I'm in danger, I let it out like a squid. That's like James Bond. People are standing, the bad guys are waving their hands. Where'd he go?
In flames, like Coffee Mate.
Oh, you should say, have I shown you the Coffee Mate trick?
No.
We'll do that later.
Our introduction.
All right. We'll take a little break, Foo Fighters. Here, we'll be right back after this. Love Line, fast growing outlaw radio, North America. Yeah, 50,000 watt flame thrower. True. This close to dropping trout.
No, you're wild, man.
I'm going to drop trout.
No way.
I'll drop trout.
This guy's wild, I'm telling
I'll
you.
He'll do anything,
he'll
man.
Do it. He'll
I'm
do
out
it.
Of control, man.
What happened? Wait, who
Dave
was what?
Dave Chris, both here, Foo Fighters, man. Let me tell you, these kids can rock, man. These guys are hot. They're good friends of mine, too. Very good friends.
Hey, man,
we're going to party Friday night, boy. I may drop trout Friday night. Look out. I'll do it, Drew. Tell him I'll do it. All right.
I can't even go with you.
We try to simulate a little radio every once in a while on this show.
It's like Midwest morning radio.
Right.
Pretty so much. Got
it. Well, yeah, who decided that stuff was good at 6:45, too? Like, you're pissed at the world, you got snot in your eyes, and you got some guy going, drop trap. What's that, Drew?
Oh, that's the cowbell.
Oh, my cowbell. Yeah, I'll dust that off a little later in the show.
Let's hear a band. We're going to play a song. We're going to play two songs this hour.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Drew, why?
We got a whole hour left.
You see all those heads nodding in there?
Yeah, we don't have to play two Foo Fighter songs.
Yeah, whatever.
No, we'll play one.
We can play other people's songs, too.
Yeah, what about Pete Yorn?
This
guy's having trouble.
I got the new NoFX in my car.
Oh.
It's really good.
And Anderson pulled the Best of Blood, Sweat, and Tears for me the other day.
Oh, yeah. I asked him to play that when you were late last night. He wouldn't do it. He said that's done.
Lucretia McEvil and Go Down Gambling. I mean, this is
Best of Blood, Sweat, and Tears?
Yeah.
Is it like three songs?
No. Dave, as a musician, you should really know their work. This is a serious, serious band.
It's quite a catalog.
Well, let's hear the Foo Fighters work right now.
Drew, what do you care? Since when did you become part of this show? Just relax over there. Hey, Drew, how come every time someone wants you to do something, you go nuts? We got to do these liners. We got to get this done. Don't worry. You think you're going to get in trouble?
No. I think it's not going to get done.
Is this part of your anxiety?
Yeah.
Yes, this is part of your
anxiety. I think that was a question on this questionnaire that we just...
Yes, could be on there. I'd answer affirmatively.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think we'll play a Foo Fighter song this hour. We have bands in here all the time. We don't play two songs.
Yeah.
We'll leave it up to the guys. You guys want to hear two songs?
I want to hear about these kids who are having freaky sex, man.
Yeah, you see what I'm talking about?
See?
There you go.
There hasn't been much drug action tonight, actually.
Are you going to hear drug and alcohol?
What about some drugs?
Let's hear some drugs. Do we got any of that?
Brian, drug and alcohol question.
Teresa.
Need one.
Teresa.
Hello.
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, when I have sex with my boyfriend, I can't feel it. And I wonder if you can do anything about that.
Were you
know, I get spammed with all those enlarge your penis things like 15 times a day.
Were you sexually abused growing up? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a common thing that happens, particularly if the sexual abuse was kind of painful and you were young. Literally, you stop having feeling of this of arousal below the waist. That's a common thing we hear about.
Who abused you?
Oh, it was my mom's ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. What a great guy.
How old were you?
I was 12.
Something happened when you were earlier? Younger?
No.
Nothing happened when you were like 6?
If something did, I don't know about it.
Can't remember.
Where's your dad?
He lives in Tennessee.
Mm-mm. And your mom and him broke up early when you were young?
Yeah, when I was two.
Why'd they break up?
Because my dad cheated on my mom.
Okay. Hmm. All right. And I wonder what, he was probably an abusive guy, too, if your mom saw fit to hook up with another abusive guy later on.
Mm-hmm. Where's my bourbon?
I think, and then your mom found out about this?
Yeah, a couple months after.
And did she dump the guy?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. All right, so how are you doing now beside this?
I'm doing pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
You ever got any therapy for it?
Yeah, I go to therapy every Thursday.
What do you do?
Have you discussed this issue?
No, not much.
You really should. It's something that, it's not an easy thing to treat. People don't really know entirely how to treat this, in fact, but it's something that could be worked on and possibly improved.
Okay.
How old's your boyfriend?
He's 17.
You should talk to your therapist about this.
Is your boyfriend a good guy?
Yeah, pretty good guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is he in, you guys go to the same high school?
Yeah.
How big's his penis?
It's not that big.
Uh-huh. All right, so this guy's got a couple hurdles to overcome.
Mm-hmm. How big?
Hey, you have sex quite a bit?
Yeah.
You do?
Why do you have sex a lot if you don't feel it?
Well, it's what he wants.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
What are you guys using for protection?
We use condom.
Good.
How about getting on the pill, though, if you're going to have the frequent sex?
Yeah, I think that I should talk to him about
or
that.
Or keep the morning after pill around, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, you're in therapy.
Yeah. Talk to the therapist about what you haven't been feeling and the things that can be done.
Okay.
All right. Does he give you oral sex?
No.
No.
If he did, would you feel that?
I have no clue.
Probably not.
All right. Well, you don't have to have as much sex with him as you're having if it doesn't feel good, you know.
Okay.
This is something called somatic dissociation. There's a lot more research being done on this right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good times, though, you know.
Of course.
Oh, you want to hear that Foo Fighters song now? Now that you've depressed everyone, Drew?
No!
You got a drug question?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to... Drew, so talk about that semantic dissociation for a second.
Well, it's a biology... it's a complicated thing. It's when people are traumatized... Listen, hang on a second. When people are traumatized, they go into states of initially sort of hyper-excitation. They try to get away, a fight-or-flight response. And then when there sort of is no escape, they kick into a parasympathetic mode, which is the opposite of what you are all the time. They sort of go down-regulate. They become hyper-inhibited. Mm-hmm. And if that happens early enough and if it's associated with pain... It can be associated with psychological dissociation, kind of what we were talking about with the depersonalization, but also they can disconnect from their body and their body experiences. And these people, like our last caller, if you like study their ability to tell the position of their body in space, they'll be actually very, very impaired. Their what's called proprioceptive function is impaired. It's like literally the mechanism of the spinal cord is sort of not working right because of the trauma.
Well, good times.
Good times, though.
Let's talk to Janet, who's 17. Janet?
Hello.
What's up?
Hi. I wanted to know if doing like tweak or meth like affects the way you ejaculate.
Is that what you had in mind, Dave, when you asked for a drug question?
That's kind of a best of.
Okay.
You know, that's
good times.
Is this your boyfriend?
My ex, and like my new boyfriend, he does it too. And so I was like wondering, we haven't had sex yet, and I was wondering if like that would happen again because it's like not very pleasant.
I don't understand what happens.
Gets blood in his semen.
From doing meth?
Is that what you said?
I don't know.
That's what she's asking. Does
Whoa.
It?
Well, does is he has blood? Your old boyfriend had blood in his semen?
Uh-huh.
Good times, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like cherry tapioca.
You get that Thousand Island effect from that. Yeah, it's good dipping.
Hey, next caller!
Hey, Janet.
Yeah?
Why? What's up with the two guys in a row with the meth problem?
Oh, well, I do it too.
Oh. All right. Well, then it's a very shrewd move. Touche.
Like
touche. So, why? How long you been doing it?
Since I was 14.
Oh, because it's a real nasty drug, that meth.
That we now do know that it is toxic. It destroys part of the brain, very clearly. You have any memory problems? Can't remember things so well anymore?
Not really.
That will come.
I don't think so.
That will come. I guarantee it.
How often do you do it?
Like every other day.
Oh, yeah. that's a lot, because every other day means 5-6 times a week.
And even 3 times a week, you can get some serious damage. Over, you take a couple of years, but you get it from speed.
What are you doing? Are you snorting it or shooting it?
Out of a pizzo.
Smoking it?
A pizzo? You smoke it?
What's a pizzo? Is that a pipe?
Is that like a Snoop Dogg? Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, pizzo. It's like...
It's pizzo.
Yeah, you put your meth in it, and you light the bottom of it, and when it smokes up, you breathe it in.
Yeah. Yeah. Hizzle for shizzle, dizzle.
There you go.
Jeez, I thought he was just saying hi.
I heard of a new unit of cocaine measurement they called the tiner.
Yeah, I don't know
what
that is.
Which is a half an eight ball.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Hey, Janet.
Huh?
So just say you're smoking it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're doing it a lot.
Yeah.
If you're smoking meth 3 times a week, that's big.
Oh,
that's kind of insane.
And it's a lot more than 3 times a week, I guarantee it.
It takes you a few days after just doing meth, you know, for one day
recover.
To kind of get back to normal. Yeah. So that's,
but
I always thought that
when you do meth that it's that you don't have any, there's nothing happening on the guy's end.
You can't get an erection.
Huh?
It's almost impossible to get an erection, but then once you do, that erection never goes away.
And you don't ejaculate.
Yeah.
But Janet, are you having any paranoid thoughts? You believe that people are thinking about you and that kind of thing?
All the time, but that's like ever since I was born.
Yeah. Well, okay. you should get a lot more of that now. You'll start to get weird thinking about people and family. And it can be very destructive. And again, that's part of the biological injury this drug creates in the brain.
How much a week are you spending on it?
Oh, I usually buy like $60.
A week.
Where do you get your money?
I have a job.
Oh, you do? Are you out of school?
No, I'm in school.
What do you do for work?
Oh, I work at a record store.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Keep doing the math then if you're working at the record store. I thought you were around food or something. No, Janet, you got a problem. I mean, you've been doing it for 3 or 4 years. You're smoking it. You're doing it almost every day of the week. You ever think about quitting?
Yeah.
Well, what can we do about this?
That will require some treatment, Janet.
Can you get into treatment?
I could, but...
Well, I mean, it's really ugly. I don't know if anyone else saw this. They just did a whole, American Undercover, that series on HBO, and they did this whole thing on meth, like in the Heartland kind of thing, and they just followed this, like, sort of meth family, and they went in their house, and it's the ugliest drug ever.
Meth family.
Well, I mean, the mom didn't know. Well, it's basically, there are the Methamins. They're a Jewish family living in the Midwest.
The Beverly Methbillies.
They left some crack out for Elijah during the Passover ceremony. No, the mom was doing the meth, and the sons were doing the meth, and one of them's in prison for life, basically. And the mom and the other son just sit around their house, which is like, you know, now decorated in Denty Moore stew cans and dog fecal matter, and just smoke meth all day long. And then they followed this other couple. The guy was a roofer.
Denty Moore stew and dog fecal matter.
That's how they had it in early. Dog fecal matter. But it's really ugly. You start looking ugly. These people, you know, were losing, you know, they were skinny as rails and they're bulgy eyes and they're picking at themselves all the time. And it's really just an ugly, ugly drug.
People
Janet.
Start believing they have glass in their skin, they're going to pick it out. Or there's a bug in their skin, they got to pick it out.
Right. All right.
Huge
well,
ulcers from picking.
Obviously, you're high now, and this is amusing to you. And
no.
All right. Well, keep going, baby. All right. You kill yourself.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Good times. Good times.
Okay. If you are serious about stopping, though, it will require treatment, so do take care of that, all right?
Okay.
All right.
All right, baby.
All right.
Good times. Blood in the semen, just to get back to your original question, I could see where the speed would have something to do with that, but I can't say that it necessarily caused that, and the fact that it was recurrent is something that probably should be looked into. The vast majority of semen, blood-filled semen, is caused by nothing. It's just a kind of a normal phenomenon.
I would freak if I saw blood in my semen.
It's not uncommon.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a cool effect if you beat off in the snow like I do.
That's nice.
Put your initials in there.
In red.
It's like a nice tie-dye.
Yeah. We'll hear a Foo Fighters song. Yeah. There it is.
Look at Ann, who's standing there waiting to pounce on you.
Well, listen, I don't care.
I know.
People know the Foo Fighters. Mm-hmm. Again, they don't want to sell out.
Yeah, but they're our guests, and they would like to have the song played.
Well, the record guys want the song
actually.
Played.
It's not, you know.
I'm just curious if the band does. All right. That's all right. All right, we're going to play a Foo Fighter song. What do you guys say? Yeah. Hey. Yeah.
Whatever.
That's right. See? They're not sold out, Drew. It's off the one-by-one CD, and this is called Times Like These. Fighters, everybody. Drew, what were you saying?
But I guess you guys recorded that on the morning show here at K-Rock? That's what they said?
Well, kind of. What happened was we recorded that version, and then I went in and did it on the morning show.
Here at K-Rock in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and then they just kind of like playing the one that we recorded in the studio a little bit better.
Mm. Right, that that certainly sounded like it was done in a studio.
Like the six-part harmony deal. That was.
I was going to say, that was sort of extraordinary. Yeah, there we go.
All right.
Glad I brought that up.
Has it ever paid off? All right, but that sounded
great. If I don't talk, then you yell at me for not talking.
Stop talking. No, wait a minute. Talk. What are you doing here? Can you believe we get paid the same?
Yeah. It's a big boy.
Oh, I can't believe we get paid the same. Kayla?
Hi.
You're 21?
I can't believe I'm on this. First, I want to say hi to my friends.
Props. I thought like when the thought bubbles pop out of people's mouths.
I can't believe
on the radio. I can't believe anyone talking to poop.
I have to fart. There's something in my teeth. What's the difference between a sofa and a couch? All right, go ahead, Kayla.
Okay, I want to ask the guys, who came up with the concept for the video for times like these, and what was it about?
Well,
I really didn't get it when I watched it.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough one. It's kind of like a Rubik's Cube, that one.
It didn't really work.
Yeah, it was a little strange. We did it with a director named Mark Klasfeld, and he's done a ton of videos. He sent us the treatment, and see, when you do a video, it all starts with directors sending you treatments, or you write your own. So it's spelled out for you before you film it, and you think, oh, okay, here's the intention for this video. This is what it's all about, and then you go and make it and kind of cross your fingers and hope that it translates and hope that it works. And the concept of the video is that we're down in this riverbed rocking out, playing a song, times like these. The song's all about not taking life for granted and appreciating what you got and going bare bones and forgetting about all the bull stuff. And so the idea is that people were coming over this bridge, seeing us play, listening to the music, and realizing, God, life's more important than this dishwasher that they throw over the bridge that lands next to us. And then people relieve themselves of their material possessions and get down to the nitty-gritty, when really it just kind of looks like people throwing trash at the band when we're playing in the riverbed.
But now you get it, right, Kayla?
There you go.
I get it.
I like the Mentos one myself.
Wait till you see the new one.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
For what?
I like learning to fly, and I like the Mentos. I like when Dave gets into drag.
The new one's got... You'll like the new one.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
You're gay.
Two rednecks in a motel room, drinking whiskey, watching porn.
Oh, that's great.
And then the women's clothes come out. Then it's
Dave
it's
Grohl as you've never seen
WWF meets...
Really? When's that?
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
When are we going to be able to see that?
I don't know.
All right.
Hopefully they'll play it.
Kayla?
Yeah?
All right, there you go.
Okay, thank you very much. And Dave, I love you.
I love you.
We got a quick Dawson's Creek question.
Uh-oh.
Alyssa?
Hi.
You're 17?
Yep. I watch Dawson's Creek every week.
Yeah.
And I saw the episode tonight.
Yeah.
And because you guys had mentioned it, and so I thought I'd bring it up. I wanted to know, Drew and Adam, like, did you guys, because they showed this whole, like, little clip thing where it was like, they pieced all these sentences together and made them like one sentence. But
they had a montage. Remember, we were completing each other's sentences.
Yeah.
Were people actually like the college students that you guys were talking to? Were they actually like asking questions and you guys giving feedback, or was that just
no?
Kind of, like,
that was one guy.
There was one guy asking most of the questions, and then they were all scripted. Except the stuff that was funny. Because they even kept the stuff in.
If something was good, you know it wasn't scripted.
Yeah, the stuff where we were completing each other's sentences, they remember that we had to make sure we put those in.
I didn't see it, but it seems like
they left in the thing with you doing the semen skin test, which
I found
impressive.
Don't remember that either.
Where you said you had semen in one half, you ate Mexican only for a week.
Oh, true. Really? Yeah. This is so disgusting.
Yeah, that's you.
What has become of me? Yeah. Foo Fighters here. We're gonna take a quick break. And we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rob Schneider's in here on Sunday, and Pete Yorn is in here tomorrow night. Foo Fighters here tonight, Chris and Dave. We got playing another Foo Fighters song. Producer Ann yelled at me during the...
Oh, you got in trouble.
She I've been trying to book this band for 8 years and didn't label this.
Whatever.
You know, we don't always play two songs for every band that comes in here, do we?
Yeah, I'm like, we're going to come back anyway.
Yeah, they're not coming back.
Exactly. Don't worry about it.
Dave,
it's a big
Dave
deal.
Dave thought the show was 20 minutes. He found out it was 2 hours. That's it.
I still got a bone to pick with you, my friend.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I remember this.
Okay.
Yes, let's hear this.
Ladies and Dave gentlemen.
Version. Yes.
Right. Here's the deal. Acoustic Christmas.
That's
2001?
Right.
2002.
Yeah. Don't remember what it was.
Played the Acoustic Christmas. Mm-hmm. Was there with my girlfriend, Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Lovely lady.
Lovely, lovely lady. Now my fiance. Thank mm-hmm. you very much.
Wise choice.
Afterwards, went back to my sister's house sure. where I was staying at the time.
Tired from rocking the house.
Right?
You understand?
I see.
Tired. When you blow the lid off a joint,
yeah.
you get tired. You got to get some rest.
Got to go get some rest. I go get some rest.
Not in the valley anywhere, though.
Keep going, Dave. Keep going, buddy.
Yeah, it's not far from Adam's party house. That's not. That's the
yeah,
party
that's
house.
That's the party house. That's
no
the
no
party
one lives house. There. No.
Exactly.
Sister lives next door to the right. party house.
So the next morning, Adam comes by. Mm-hmm. Good neighbor.
Sure.
Knocks on the door.
That's right.
And Jordan answers the door.
That's right. Lovely fiance.
Right. I think maybe I was gone.
I think you were
was
asleep.
I asleep?
Yes.
Sister was gone.
Yeah.
It was
played plans.
No big whoop. And then about 2 weeks later, our drummer Taylor was on the show. Mm-hmm. And my girlfriend and I, Jordan, mm-hmm. were excited to hear Taylor on Loveline. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you came over to the house.
Mm-hmm. Came by the house.
And some floozy opened the door.
Right.
Floozy. That was the word. I mean, my girlfriend and I were listening at the time.
That must have been very hurtful.
It was pretty bad. It was bad. Like, I was thinking of ways to get back at you for that.
Well, okay. First off, I was bringing over a basket.
Of what?
Of a fruit.
Oh,
bring a fruit basket over.
Did you really have a fruit basket?
No, I didn't.
You liar. You totally did not.
I would have probably borrowed some money or something.
I think you were offering, like, carpentry to my sister or something
I
like
told
that.
Her, yes, yes. Dave's sister
up.
Said she just bought a house. It was next door. She had some stuff she wanted done on it, and I told her I'd come by and take a look-see around the following morning.
Oh.
Yeah. But
so you were offering services.
Yeah, but now I didn't realize that Jordan at the time was your girlfriend.
Oh, yes.
And I thought it was like one of those rock star things. You know, you bring home a beautiful blonde woman in every town you're in. So I was a little confused. It was a compliment. I thought, you know, this is what you do when you're on the road.
You should hear what he calls my wife.
But, she deserves it.
Oh, yeah.
But, okay. But floozy to me was like a term of endearment, you know, like darling.
You sure about that?
Lovely.
You sure?
Well,
you'll wonder why it took 2 years to get us in the studio.
It was like, first off, radio, you have to be, you have to choose your words. You know what I'm saying? You have to paint a picture for
Adam,
people.
Evidently
sidebar,
so.
Sidebar. He's really pissed here. You got to be careful. I got your way, all right?
You got me?
I got you, yeah.
Well, then the other night at the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Right.
We see each other.
That's right.
And Jordan was there.
But you brought it up.
Right.
He's actually, I'll get his back on this. He has mentioned how badly he felt about this on more than one occasion.
And you said, like, right. it's okay. You can insult my wife.
Which
right.
he did.
Right.
And I said, you know, but I don't hate women as you do.
Well, it's,
it's
not that. It's like how a little kid deals with it. If you hurt him, you go, here, hit me. Hit me now.
Well, hit my wife.
So.
Not me. Come on, Drew.
So did you apologize to Jordan? Did you?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I did.
You might want to do that now because I know she's listening.
Okay.
Is she listening?
Public apology.
You stinking whore.
A chance to finally put this
watch
to rest.
Watch it, Mr. Addison, whatever the hell your
Anderson,
name is.
Let's put this to rest once and for all. Gentlemen, let's put this to rest.
I'll play some music.
No,
some music.
Come on.
Play some music.
No, screw the Foo Fighters stuff.
All right. Here we go. Adam, this is
not
it.
Foo Fighters.
Let's put this to rest.
Jordan, this is Adam Carolla coming to you from Radio Land. I'm sorry, sweetness. I did not mean to insult you that way. And if it came across as offensive or insulting, and I feel bad that this has to be done on Passover, you know? But I truly do apologize.
You wanted to save it for Yom Kippur.
I'll see you at the concert Friday night. And again, if you want to attack my wife, little cat fight, winner take all kind of thing, that would be, I would find it appropriate. Again, look forward to seeing you.
And you
bring me some brisket.
Nice. And
that's very nice.
And you didn't mean to suggest that your fiance, Dave, would bring home a floozy.
No.
Even if it weren't somebody that he knew, you wouldn't ever imply that he would be the kind of person that would do that.
Yeah, this was all just a horrible, horrible misunderstanding.
And it was you being flippant with Taylor here and just goofing around.
I'm just screwing around with Taylor. You know, he's like a young rock and roll kid. I was trying to speak in language he could understand. Also, I was heading over there to give a carpentry assessment of your sister's house.
I know. That was very nice.
Some credit there.
But you can still do that, you know.
I can't. I'm scared to go over there, though.
No,
where is your sister?
Water
she
under
home?
The bridge.
She home?
She is, but I mean, she's got a 9-to-5 job, so you got to get
well,
there.
We'll talk because I'll go over there, give the place a good eyeball, and maybe throw an estimate her way. All right. So that's all behind us now. That's the good
news. That
was
very sweet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Dave.
No, but really, thanks.
Adam,
a lot,
Adam,
though.
You're cool. You're
happy.
Okay. Is this Maeve?
Yeah.
You're 30?
Uh huh.
What's up?
Is Maeve short for something?
No, that's it, Maeve.
All right, Maeve.
What's up?
All right, well, my question is really instigated from seeing the Foo Fighters last night. They just rocked. And at one point, Dave was getting a little frisky on stage as I think he referred himself as a skinny little weird guy, and was briefly emulating his technique in oral sex. And so that got me thinking a bit. I thought, well, that looks kind of fun. And so I have two-part question. One is, what do you guys really think about going down a woman? And two, being in between relationships right now, and of course being at my sexual peak, going without orgasms during the week, that's not really an option. So I masturbate all the time.
Yeah.
And so what I'm curious about for the doctor is that if I'm that active, would my sensitivity need something more intense than a man can offer, you know, later on?
Are you using a vibrator?
Sometimes, yeah.
So are you using something that could desensitize you?
Well, that's what I'm curious about.
Are you using something that could desensitize
you? You're not using
you
like a meat tenderizer or anything.
Are you noticing a lack
of... Maybe I should try that next. I don't know.
Are you noticing that you're becoming desensitized?
Well, I don't know, but, well, it's intense. It's good.
Are you noticing...
But it's more intense than a man. You know.
Maeve is nuts.
Yeah.
You're a little nutty, right?
I don't think I'm nutty. I don't know.
Yeah? I think you are.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you're between relationships right now?
Uh-huh.
Why is that?
Because I just got out of a really long-term relationship.
All right. And you're are you dating now?
No, not yet. Not ready.
Not ready?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
You're fat.
Drew, please.
That's not a crazy plan.
Okay.
Wait a little time.
All right.
All right, listen, you're fine. It's not like you're going to use up all your orgasms or desensitize yourself. But you can always bring these techniques in with your boyfriend, right?
I suppose I could.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So what do you guys... Seems a little salty to me. What do you guys really think about going down, though?
It's great. Nothing wrong with it.
She say salty?
Yeah.
Are you lesbian?
No, I'm not lesbian.
Well, you're asking what a guy...
Yeah, I want to know, because the taste doesn't seem terribly appealing to me.
Well, listen, you're not going down there because you're hungry. You're going down there because you want a blowjob. I mean, because it feels good for the lady. Whatever. We all have our different motivations.
All right, so...
Listen, it's fine. We don't have to... guys put stuff in their mouths all the time that don't exactly taste good. You know, cigars and certain
cheeses and ports and things.
Yeah, there's stuff...
Cheeses and ports.
Let me explain something. When you get older, you start putting stuff in your mouth that doesn't taste good, but it is good. You know what I mean? The cigar doesn't taste good. Cigarettes don't taste good.
But it's so bad, it's good.
Yeah, there's certain liquors that aren't so great. Malt liquor doesn't taste great. Cognac, everything tastes like hell. But you learn to enjoy. You learn to appreciate it.
Cheeses and ports.
Sounds like a new dog food.
Oh, my.
Cheeses and ports.
Jesus.
Maeve was nuts, though. All right, let's keep moving forward here. I don't want to... Is Rosa wants to ask him?
Just take it.
Rosa.
Hi, Adam. Hi. I saw the show tonight, and you said something about the raft girl, you know, the raft box?
Yeah, the Dawson's Creek thing.
Yeah, and I heard you talking about it on the radio, like, a while ago, and I wanted to know, like, how much of the show, how much of what you said did you write?
Well, we didn't really write anything, but we made up a lot of it along the way.
Whatever they would tolerate.
Oh, they would tolerate most of it.
No, but I mean... We were constantly trying to get off the script, and they go, no, certain things, you go back, go back, go back. Remember?
Yeah, but not much. They seemed kind of
they were open. Yeah, they were pretty open to Adam moving around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, most of the stuff. The stuff you liked, I did, and the stuff you didn't like, they wrote.
That's right.
All right?
All right, thank you.
All right. Real fast. Derek?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
A friend of mine, this is embarrassing for him, he was wearing tight jeans. I live in Alaska, by the way. He was wearing really tight jeans, and he frostbit the end of his dork.
Nice.
And he wants me to ask you guys what would be the, like, effects of that, because it's like, he says it's numb, and whenever he gets it up, it, like, hurts and stuff.
Oh, my goodness. It could be a chronic problem of pain with erections and difficulty having orgasm. And
well,
difficulty
what happens if your toe gets frostbitten, you got to cut it off, right?
Yeah, well, you probably sloughed a little bit of the tip there, I'm sure.
Really?
Yeah, but the real problem is you damage the nerves, and the nerves can then become, like, oversensitive and, you know,
how does
painful.
He know he had frostbite on his penis?
Big black spot there on the tip.
He said it was discolored, and he has no feeling in it anymore.
Did he go to the doctor?
No.
And that's from wearing tight pants in the snow? Is that the deal?
In Alaska.
He had tight jeans on, and it was really, really cold one day, and he just, I don't know, it was just too close to the edge of the jeans. And
froze his dork to his jeans.
Oh, really? Like licking a flagpole?
There you go.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to say to the Foo Fighters, you guys freaking rock.
See, only on Loveline do you get compliments after.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, enough of the dork frostbite.
Are you going to Alaska anytime?
Well, not if our dicks are going to get frozen to our tight jeans.
Yeah, and these guys wear nothing but tight jeans. Yeah,
I'm sure you're smarter than my friend, though.
Yeah, we'll make it up there soon.
Okay, cool.
All right, Derek.
All right, later.
Good times.
I don't know if he was really concerned about his friend or the Foo Fighters. We're going to take a quick break. We'll hear another Foo Fighter song, maybe two or three after this.
Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam, that's Drew. Foo Fighters are here, Chris and Dave. We're going to hear a Foo Fighter song.
Why?
I'll tell you why, because we were having a very, very spirited conversation about tsunamis during the, Japanese for tidal wave, kids. And, we'll hear a Foo Fighter song. We can get the rest of our tsunami talk in, and everyone's happy.
Good.
All right. This one's called Low.
Outside you, ooh, we could use one another.
Fighters.
Thank you.
Dave and Chris both here from the band. I'm going to go see them Friday night. You going, Drew?
Just email my wife. We might not be in town, but I'd love to go if we are.
Just come out.
That'd be great.
Where are you going?
Laguna.
Mm-hmm.
Easter.
Mm-hmm. Is that
Easter?
Easter
this weekend.
Is Easter Sunday?
Yeah.
Junior?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
One thing I want to know is, like, I've been engaged for 2 years. I've been with my fiancée for, like, 3 years already. The thing is, not so long ago, she told me that she was bisexual before she met me, and she was with a lot of girls. And ever since she told me that, I've been wanting to be with more girls.
You've been wanting to be with more girls?
Yeah.
Her being bisexual made you want to be with more girls?
She just got me more interested, and I tried to get her, like...
Yeah, but let's be fair. If she said she was a librarian before
right,
he met him,
right.
It would make Junior want to get with more girls.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, no, because I tried to get her into a threesome or something like that.
Of course.
And she says yeah sometimes, and she says no, and I don't know.
So what's your question?
Like, there's something wrong with me because I've cheated on her, like, I don't know, so many times already.
I'm not sure there's anything wrong with you, but there's something wrong with this relationship. You've been engaged since you were 16, or at least intent upon marrying this girl. Now you're 19. And even though you're intent on marrying her, you still cheat on her. I mean, the reality is you're not done being a teenage male, and you need to go out and
All right, so do you have any kids?
Yeah, we have
Oh, my God.
Oh, you tard.
And another one on the way.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right,
what
Adam,
is it?
Adam
what is
go.
It?
Go get him.
Well, I just want to know what it is about. Here's all I'm saying. I don't know if you worship God or Allah or Darwin or nature, but what is that? What's the component where dumb people need to crank out kids as fast as they possibly can? I mean, could nature have had this in mind and just destroy the planet? Like, what is that plan? The worse off you are financially, the dumber you are, the less educated you are.
More
the,
kids.
The more kids you want
and
to
the,
have.
And the younger you have.
And the younger you have them. What is that? How can we sustain ourselves?
The question is, how could that be to our evolutionary advantage, and why would nature have set that up?
That's what I want to know.
Yes.
Junior?
Yeah.
Okay, why do you keep getting people pregnant here now?
No, it's just...
Same girl, Adam. How dare you? Yeah. How dare you?
Huh?
Okay, what are you going to do with these kids? I hope they're girls so they can strip instead of guys who end up in prison.
No, I have a little boy, and we think it's another boy.
Oh, my God. Oh, more gang members. Oh,
and
no.
I also wanted to know, do penis enlargers actually help?
No.
Because I see a lot of girls, and they tell me I'm big enough, but I don't know. I don't think I'm big enough.
Listen, Junior.
This Junior's being carcerated.
Here's what I want you to do with that second kid of yours.
What?
If it's a boy, just so he'll have a fighting chance. You get one of those big water balloon launchers that they use made out of surgical tubing, and just face him toward the best part of your neighborhood and just launch him.
I think you ought to
do
that
direction.
They
maybe a family of possum will find him and raise him right.
You got to do what they did with Moses. Just put him in a basket and then place it in the river.
You got a river?
Yeah.
Do you have a basket?
LA River.
There's a canal not too far.
There's a canal?
Cement canal.
Put him in a wicker basket. Let him go down the river and a kindly band of nomadic Jews will raise him, right, Drew?
No, a pharaoh will get him.
A pharaoh, I mean, yeah. a pharaoh. Yeah, sorry. I forgot my biblical stories. All right. All right, no more kids after this, right, Junior?
Hopefully not.
Yeah, all right. You got a plan. What are you doing for a living? Something with a forklift?
We're opening up a business pretty soon.
What's the business?
T-shirts.
Automotive.
Automotive business.
Yeah. How are you getting the money to open it up?
Me and a couple of friends are opening up an auto shop.
Well, that explains how you get some money.
Oh, you got friends that have money?
We actually all have money. Well, I've worked all my life, so I saved up a lot of money.
Okay, listen. So here, I'm gonna lay out the next 20 years of your life. Stop screwing around.
Condoms.
You're dad now. You understand?
Condoms.
You got to settle down, and you have to get your fiance on the pill.
Condoms. Get the business going. Plus, you screw around.
I want a big family. And
yeah, well, you have it with one girl, okay?
Yeah, they're all, both kids are from the same.
All right.
I love her so much, but yeah, I can't seem to stop.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but you're going to screw your kids up.
Let's start with Junior maybe tomorrow night and to talk about sexual compulsion and addiction.
No, he's 19. This is why you're not supposed to crank out kids when you're 19.
All right, still horny. Forget it, Terry. I take it back.
All right. We'll take a little break. Foo Fighters here. We'll be right back after this. poor Dave has to go through life playing the drums to every song he hears. It's got to be dangerous when you're driving.
No, it's good.
I like the fact that you guys buried the hatchet tonight.
Yeah.
We can get on with this relationship. And
we can, like, barbecue, play basketball.
Yeah, and he can come fix your sister's house, more importantly.
Yeah, finally.
Is she going to be there Friday night?
Yeah, I think she'll be there both nights.
Your sister or your fiance?
Both?
Nope. Well, this is it.
Jordan's whole family will be there Friday night, so you can do this all over again.
Well, no,
have our hands cut off.
No, I spoke to them when you guys did Jimmy's show.
A couple
weeks ago. So we're all square.
Absolutely.
I'm going to talk to your sister, and I'm coming over there Saturday.
You got it.
And going to give her a little pass through on the house. All right. I want to thank Chris and Dave both coming in here from the Foo Fighters. Again, Pete Yorn tomorrow night. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Right.
Floozy. That was the word. My girlfriend and I were listening at the time.
That must have been very hurtful.
It was pretty bad.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.